The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
To Ask an Atheist, where reason is our co-pilot. I'm Beth Lehman. With me today is Mike Gillis and our resident skeptic, Case.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
All right. Our show today is titled, You Should Already Know. It's an introspective look on psychics.
Psychics.
Yes. Yes, crazy ESP stuff.
Spooky.
But I figure we'll probably open up with some emails and
Let's start out with some emails. I think you have one, Case, don't you?
Yes, I do. So our first caller is, our first email is from Jim, and his question is as following. My son is graduating this spring from college, and my daughter is graduating from grad school as well. The problem is that they are both enrolled in college before camping. The guy, the family radio folks, made his prophecy, you know, the one May 21st. If camping is right, then why didn't God tell me and my kids before they threw away near $100,000 on educations they will never use? Seems like bad management to me.
I think that's an astute observation. Also, if you have any questions, if you have anything to say about the recent rapture billboards that keep popping up in greater and greater numbers, it would seem, if we go by the emails we're getting. The number here is 253-584-1480, or you can go to our website at askanatheist.tv and find the big candy-colored button. We found out someone likes it when we refer to it as candy-colored, and ask us a question. So what do you think, Mike?
Well, I think if you're somebody who has not heard of this thing that we do, this Harold Camping guy, he represents a group called Family Radio. They're a group of fundamentalist Christians that are based out of California. They've been putting these billboards up, not just around the country, but around the world. They're in Australia. They're in Russia. There's even one of these things up in Canada, up near Greenland. You know, not the part of Canada that actually has people in it, but the part where you might be seen by a couple moose, maybe a polar bear. These things basically saying that Jesus will be returning to Earth on May 21st of this year, 20 days from now.
20 days.
Ushering in the end times, that all of the gravestones across the world are going to crack open, all the dead are going to walk free. Dawn of the Dead, George A. Romero stuff here. And this is going to be the beginning of the end. Again, for real this time.
For real this time. I think that's the that's what makes me laugh, is that hasn't this guy made some sort of prediction about this exact sort of thing before?
Yeah, he did this back in 1994.
I did not know that.
Yeah, this is the second time. I guess the last time he used the same sort of Da Vinci Code rationalizations, where you take this line from this Bible verse and cross it by this number times, you know, to the fifth power. I think last time his excuse, and this is probably going to be his excuse this time, this is why we call this the countdown to backpedaling, because we know that these this twisted logic, these harsh rationalizations, where he tries to make excuses for why the world did not end again, he's just going to simply say that he didn't carry a two, or he didn't read a passage right, even though his billboards are saying the Bible guarantees it.
There's actually a gold seal guarantees this. Yeah.
So it's going to be more of the same. So we expect, and actually,
we have a benefit show coming up, actually. I mean, we as atheists, obviously, you're not going to believe in the whole rapture thing.
You
maybe not. Maybe you will. I don't know. I don't want to speak for everybody. But we have something going on, right?
Yeah. So, Jim, you really don't have to worry. In fact, we would like to invite you to our big event, our benefit show, Countdown to Backpedaling. The end is... we're going to be doing this on May 21st. That's the day of. We're going to be counting down those last hours waiting for Jesus to show up. Spoiler alert, he's probably not going to.
Hey, conveniently, at least it's a Saturday night.
It's a Saturday night. It should be fun.
Yes.
It's going to be from 8 o'clock to 1:30. It's going to be at Dorky's Barcade. That's going to be on 754 Pacific Avenue in downtown Tacoma.
Yep.
It's a great place. Great retro video games. We're going to have some live music. Three Ninjas with Tangent Bot, Lena Lou. There's going to be a live jam session. $10 at the door. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is a great, great location.
Yeah, we're all really looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so come help us celebrate the end of waiting and perhaps hear the first excuses as to why the world failed to end.
Again.
All right, yes. Let's go on to our next email.
Well, if we could, there was one thing I just wanted to touch
on
real quickly.
Oh, sure, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your toes.
No worries. Jim, who wrote this, actually, I recognize the last name, and I've seen he actually has this great video that he posted where he goes to a tea party group, and he asks them a very simple question. And the simple question he asked him is, do you think Barack Obama is an American citizen? Very, very simple question. And the amount of deflecting the question, the answers of no, I don't know. No one at this rally will say that he's an American citizen. I thought that was just amazing. I think he's got balls of steel. Can I say that on the radio?
Yeah, I hope so. If you're not familiar with the conspiracy theory, this is the birther conspiracy.
Yes.
It's the one that constantly puts doubt on whether the president of the United States was born in the U.S. or he was born in Kenya. Demands to see the birth certificate. They showed one. They make more demands. He shows a longer one. The thing with conspiracy theorists, and this goes with a lot of really religious people too, is that there really is no amount of evidence that you can give some people that they're going to buy it. There's nothing you can give them to prove them that the UFOs aren't being hidden by the government or that that we didn't land on the moon. I mean, it doesn't really matter how much you give some people. It's never going
to
be enough.
No, I definitely think that you're totally right, because if you're dealing with somebody who's willing to sort of believe obviously made up stuff anyway, it's not that much of a stretch to make up more stuff so that what you believe is still true, even though there's this evidence that you seemingly can't refute. You know, it makes sense.
I know this is one thing we were talking about. Why do we talk about skepticism, things like psychics we're going to be talking about later today? Why do we talk about that on an atheist show? And I think it all comes down to the same thing, is that we look at reality, and what is the prism by which you look at reality? We look at it through the prism of, is there evidence to back up the claims that are made? And we're going to investigate claims about psychics later today.
Yes.
Through the same methodology that we use when we investigate claims that somebody makes of religious claims, something in the Bible, like whether somebody can bring somebody back to life or turn feed a bunch of people just a handful of loaves and fishes or raise the dead,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
I think forensically, if we could just make one more point about this, I think it's fascinating, the whole birther issue, because we're actually watching a conspiracy unfold before us. We're actually seeing this happen. It's not an old JFK or a moon landing one. This is actually happening right in front of us, where people are cognitively they're ignoring the facts in front of them because there's a larger narrative that they're paying attention to, and that is they think Obama's not a legitimate president.
Yeah, unlike JFK, the moon landing hoax, a lot of those other sort of well-known conspiracy theories. This is happening during a time where the interconnectivity, the communication that's possible between people is so readily available through the internet that it's really interesting to see how that takes a sort of different shape with this new communication tool that we all use.
In fact, that's one of the factors that cited that why this conspiracy is spreading so quickly is thanks to the internet. So
thank you, internet.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard somebody say once that the internet doesn't make people crazy, but it helps crazy people find each other.
And if you have any comments on what we're talking about, the phone number here, 253-584-1480, or on our website, you can ask a question, askanatheist.tv. All right. So we're going to go on to our second email. This one is from Renee. The subject line is Dawkins gets it wrong. So this will be interesting. I wondered if the atheists here at Ask an Atheist consider Dawkins as some sort of an authority on the question of God's existence. We can stop right here and actually talk a little bit about this initial comment, I think. Because why? Anyway, do you guys go ahead and take this? It frustrates me.
I think the main thing is no. He's an authority on the questions of evolutionary biology. That's what he has an advanced degree in. That's what he's taught in. That's what he's lectured in. But how can you be an authority on the question of God's existence? Either there's evidence or there isn't, and the evidence just isn't there. I want to make it clear to people, if you have a question about something Dawkins said and you want to disprove Dawkins, he's got an email address. He's got an organization. You can contact Dawkins. He's not the Pope of atheism.
Right, and we're not a hive mind either. We're not all interconnected. You know, we don't share the same thoughts.
Yeah, if we believe something that he says, it's because of it being true on its own merits. It's not because he has some sort of vaulted, you know, wonderful position of authority among atheists. Either it's true or it's not. Here's the other thing. Here's the beautiful thing. If you prove Richard Dawkins wrong about something, you are not proving that God exists. There is not a false dichotomy. It's not like if you prove him wrong, this is the same thing that people throw out with evolution. If you disprove evolution, we are at a neutral place. It doesn't prove creationism. You have to provide positive evidence for that. So again, if you have an issue with Dawkins, take it up with Dawkins. If you want to find out what we think about something, ask us.
Yeah, and here is this is what she believes that Dawkins got wrong. It has to do with Aquinas. If you do, then I wonder what you make of Dawkins getting the arguments of Aquinas incorrect in his book, The God Delusion. I mean, if theists are so stupid to believe in God, then why would Dawkins need to parody them? And then she suggests that we watch a YouTube video to understand her argument. Now, here is something that here's advice for people who are trying to set us questions. I wish that I had more time to watch all of the YouTube videos and check out all of the links. And if I have the time, I will do it. But if you have a specific argument or you have a specific question that you want to ask, you need to be able to take some time to write out that question. Or if you send us a YouTube link, you have to do that with the assumption that we may not get to it. Because I am a mother. I'm a full-time student. I work. I know that everyone else has a lot of stuff going on. So in that respect, just for future reference, if you have a question and you have some sort of YouTube video or something, just understand that we may not get to it. But I think, Mike...
Or better yet, call into the show. If this is something so lengthy that you don't want to spend the time writing it out, because, it can be really exhausting to write out this really detailed email. And, of course, if it's a really detailed email, we're going to edit it for time on the air anyways. But... even better, if you think that Dawkins is, or anyone, if you want to find out what we think about Thomas Aquinas and his arguments, and now Thomas Aquinas, this is a guy from the Middle Ages who put forward like the first cause argument, the idea that everything that exists must have a cause, and then that thing must have a cause, and that at some point there has to be something that doesn't have a cause, and then that thing would be God. And it really begs the question, of course, who created God? And if there's one thing that doesn't need a creator, then the world doesn't need a creator, because you've already contradicted this universal statement you made at the beginning, which is that everything needs a creator, ... and they really mean except God.
Right.
Why cut out the middleman? I think that's one of the things that Dawkins was talking about. I don't think he got that wrong, but if you think, Renee, that we're getting this question of Thomas Aquinas' proofs wrong, call into the show and give Thomas Aquinas your best effort. Make the best argument you can, and we can address it on the show. And that way, because if you write it out, we're going to have to cut it down. You can call in, give every bit of the argument. If we're forgetting something, on the air, call us out on it. Give us a call.
And that number again, 253-584-1480. All right, we have one more email. I think, Case, you have this one, right?
Sure. Let's see. In season 4, episode 1, the quote attributed to one of the Bush presidents, I have not been able to find a solid reference for when and where George W. Bush, or George H.W. Bush, ever said it. Since I have not been able to verify the quote, I have quit using it. If you have a good reference for it, please share it. Otherwise, I'll have to treat it as slander, libel of my least favorite presidents. And I'll run the quote down for you. It is Robert Sherman, as a reporter for the American Atheist News Journal, had interviewed Bush apparently at O'Hare Airport in 1987. And he asked the question, surely you recognize the equal citizenship and patriotism of Americans who are atheists. Bush answered, according to Rob, no, I don't know that atheists should be considered citizens, nor should they be considered patriots. This is one nation under God.
Yes, and Eric, it's a really good question that you're asking. Why can't you find a solid reference for this quote? This is one of those situations where this was a press conference. It was at an airport. There wasn't a lot of recording going on by very many people when the question was asked. But the quote has been questioned several times by people, exactly for the same reason, that they couldn't find a reference for it. And if you go to www.robsherman.com, that's the man, the journalist who actually asked the question, had the conversation, you'll get a very in-depth explanation as to when it happened, why it wasn't recorded, why you can't find a solid reference for it, and whether or not it actually happened. And to sort of sum up what was said about it, Mr. Sherman, he asked the question in front of other press. It's never really been, and they've even asked the president. They've gone through his library, and they found proof that this conversation happened. It just happened to not be recorded. And at the time, Bush was not the president. He was the vice president. And so, and at the time, in what was it, 1987?
I believe 87.
Yeah, atheism was not that big. It wasn't a seller. It wasn't a hot topic, quote unquote. So this sort of quote could happen. And it's hard to imagine it now, considering how prevalent these sort of stories are in news today. But at that time, it wasn't a big enough news story for people to run with. And so it sort of just, it sort of got swept under the rug until...
If you do want an example of how things have changed... Robert Sherman, who continues to do this stuff today, he's a longtime atheist political activist, was actually testifying before the Illinois state legislature, basically calling them out, saying, you know, we really shouldn't use tax dollars to renovate this church. He was chewed out by a Democratic state rep who started screaming at him, demanding he leave, saying it's dangerous for children to even know your philosophy exists, that sort of stuff. It got major press. So, like you said, we're in a very different place now where if this question was asked of a presidential candidate today, and there is a presidential election coming up, if this happened now to a presidential candidate and they shot them down like that, it would make press now.
No, most definitely.
But wasn't a question then. I mean, we're living in sort of the post-God delusion world.
So, Eric, if you want to check out, just go to www.robsherman.com. There's actually a PDF on that site from the Presidential Library where you can check out his proof, essentially, that this conversation happened. And also, when they've questioned Bush about the conversation, they've never gotten a refutal. They've never refuted that the conversation happened. They've just gotten additional explanations to justify the statement. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
That's pretty authoritative to me. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to head into a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to dip into our topic, you should already know, psychics. Please stick around.
Are you tired of religious dogma influencing government policy? Do you support the separation of church and state? Then the Secular Coalition for America is your voice in Washington, D.C. The Secular Coalition for America is the only national lobbying organization representing atheists, agnostics, humanists, and other secular Americans in our nation's capital. The Secular Coalition for America speaks out for millions of non-theistic and non-religious Americans who support public policies based on science and reason, not religious bias. Go to secular.org today to sign up for emails and get involved. That's secular.org.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an integral part of your business. But that's not all. We can set you up with VoIP, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to helping your business succeed through and with technology. At Tacoma Telematics, we are committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask an Atheist, where reason is our co-pilot. Today we have, I'm Beth Lehman, we have Mike Gillis, and we have Case.
Yes.
Yes, and our show today is on psychics and ESP. Case, why don't you take us away with that?
So no doubt you've seen them before, promising to talk to deceased relatives, read your future using tarot cards or your palm. Maybe for a fee, they'll use the powers of their mind to help you win a lottery, find a lost dog, or a favorite possession. We speak, of course, of psychics and the supposed powers of ESP. Before we get started, I think it's important that we define our terms a bit. Let me throw it to you guys. Extrasensory perception. What do you think? What is that?
Well, I think we're talking about a sense beyond, you know, hearing, sight, smell. It's that sort of intuition or feeling, this idea that I can actually listen to something with my brain, that I can sense what somebody is nearby or maybe read their thoughts or look into the future.
The way I've heard it described quite a bit is being able to tap into the cosmic energy of everything and being able to interpret that energy to be able to produce some sort of result.
Okay, and those are actually pretty fair definitions. Generally, when someone says they're a skeptic of that, they're considered to be dismissive of people's intuition or their abilities or their powers. But one of the challenges of the psychics is when you make a claim, you should be able to back up that claim, and that claim should be able to be backed up in such a way that's both a fair and reasonable test. And so far, despite a couple decades, actually more than a century of research, 130 years if I got the number right, psychics have so far failed to live up to their billing 100% of the time. In fact, if a single psychic was able to actually be verifiable, despite what they say, like Sylvia Brown, it would probably undercut everything we ever knew about how the universe worked. You know,
it would be really exciting, actually.
Totally. Absolutely. I'd be in favor of it.
That's the thing I find really unfair that people throw at us as these naysayers. Like when you watch any television program and they bring a couple psychics on and then they bring Michael Shermer or James Randi or any one of the assorted psychics, skeptics to go on the show, be outnumbered by the other people on the other guests on the program. And they treat them like they're some sort of grumpy old naysayer here to ruin their fun. Oh, you come here to rain on their parade. Don't you understand that people enjoy this and that they get meaning out of this? And I find that so unfair because, as you may know about me, I am a giant nerd. I've been reading comic...
No, you lie.
No, I'm going to have to go with Mike on this one.
I am a giant nerd, and I have been reading comic books and fantasy novels and all sorts of, I believe, George R. R. Martin kind of groups them all under the umbrella setting of weird things. I love stuff like that, and there would be nothing that would make me happier than for someone to really be a superhero, someone to really have psychic powers like Professor X from the X-Men.
Yes, yes.
I would love that to be true, but I'd also want that to be real. I don't want to be had. I don't want to be scammed. So it's not good enough for me to find out that somebody can, oh, I have a vague intuition that there's a parking space. I want real psychic ability, and I want it to be real, and I want it to be measured, and I want to be able to study it and understand it and maybe even possibly use it. And the evidence they've given for us so far has just been so bad.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, very lackluster. And if you have any sort of opinion on this, if you believe in psychics, if you don't, if you've had an experience with a psychic or with psychic ability, we would love to hear from you. The phone number here is 253-584-1480, or go ahead and shoot us an email on the web, askanatheist.tv.
So probably one of the first criticisms we'll hear is, well, this is really a skeptic topic. This isn't really atheism per se. And, you know, if you had to draw out a Venn diagram of skeptics here and atheists there, there are some people who I feel should overlap in both circles, that skepticism, I feel, applied to its natural end is atheism. I think that the two are very, very compatible with each other. So I think skepticism is very much a relevant topic to ask an atheist. So anyway, Beth, you were telling us about the story about... a psychic who could interpret his dreams.
The sleeping psychic.
Share that with everybody. I think it's fantastic.
This is a man. His name is Chris Robinson, and he's an Englishman. And he believes that he has the ability to interpret. He has these prophetic dreams, which require his own interpretation in order to basically predict the future. He claims that he predicted the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He also says that he sent a letter to the government, to the U.S. government, about the attacks. They can't find this letter. There's no trace of it.
Maybe he should dream and try to find it. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's fine. that's pretty much how I feel, too. But anyway. So he went on a National Geographic program, and he was more than willing to have his gift tested. And the way they set out the parameters of this test together, where he essentially said, all you need to do is put some sort of item in an envelope, and I will be able to tap into the energy that news item, whatever it is. It had to be a tragedy, which is interesting in and of itself. But he would be able to tap into that energy and be able to predict what this news item was. It could be anything, terrorist attack, anything. So they set up the experiment. He had his dream. He interpreted it. And it was really interesting watching how he did it. Because you could tell that I feel like these people are sort of in two different camps. You have the scam artists, which there are quite a few. And then you have, and there's some bleed over, I think, between these two as well. But then you also have the legitimately deluded, people who really, really believe that they have this gift.
Right.
And I got the impression that he was more in the second camp.
Although you'll never be able to tell. You can never actually tell.
No,
short
that's
of a confession,
true.
But
that's
yeah.
true. That's absolutely true. But when he opened his interpretation had to do with, oh, these are wild animals. That means a person of malcontent, which, you know, is a pretty general statement.
Yeah.
But then the one that was interesting where he sort of went off course was, I had a dream and there were lots of cups. And in my dreams, cups are dead bodies. And so I also and another thing that was interesting was the part of his dream was a car with an engine that worked, but the car wouldn't start. And he had interpreted that before even looking in the envelope as possibly him telling himself that it wasn't going to work.
You got to give yourself a back
door. So, yeah, he had that safety net totally, totally down. And so he opened the envelope, excuse me, and the story that was contained inside had to do with two young men and a Monopoly game that got out of control. They both wanted to be the car. They fought over it. It escalated into a fight that went outdoors where one of the guys shot the other guy through the heart with a bow and arrow.
As these things often happen.
So this is a news story. It was from 1992. It happened in America. It was a very specific news story with lots and lots of I would say vibrant imagery. The pieces of the Monopoly board, the bow and arrow through the heart. That's kind of a weird one.
Do not pass go, literally.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. And his reaction once he read it, and you could see it go over his face, you felt kind of bad for the guy because he got it so wrong.
I don't feel that bad.
No, I didn't after he responded because the first thing he said was, oh, well, I'm not surprised it didn't work. This isn't the right kind of thing to put into the envelope.
Ah, so if it was a longbow in the envelope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know if he expected part of the murder scene. I don't know what's required.
He was handed a flat envelope. What did he think was in there if not a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Well, and my question is, if you can't tap into something like that, then how did he tap into the 9/11 attacks?
Yeah.
Nobody, I mean, he didn't have any sort of physical connection with that. So it seems weird that in this case it's not going to work.
He touched the envelope and he still got some kind of vision, so to speak. What was it that he was apparently tapping into if he was getting that totally wrong? Is it just mean that he occasionally has hallucinations and that he can somehow attach those thematically?
That's a great and fair question. That's one that when I test psychics, one of the questions I ask is, how do you know when you're wrong? How can you tell that you're not making this up versus any psychic power you actually think you're tapping? I've never heard a satisfactory answer. They just don't know when they're wrong. But you were saying that he almost asserted that these are the facts, and then when he found out he was wrong, he was just...
No, he was very, very confident before opening the envelope,
right.
And afterwards very giggly, kind of, oh, we're all friends here, this didn't work, but it's because you guys messed up. That
yeah.
sort of thing.
Not my fault.
But he wasn't mad at you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
This reminds me a bit of the Sean Hornbeck case. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this.
No.
Sean Hornbeck was this boy who had been kidnapped as a smaller child. And his parents went on the Montel Williams show, and that's an episode. I don't even know if you know Montel Williams, I'll give him some credit. He's not Jerry Springer. I mean, he's not Oprah, really, either, in terms of his reputation. But he does paternity test episodes, so he's not really that classy. So,
well, yeah, classy with a capital K. That's what I call it.
So Montel Williams is, the media patron of Sylvia Brown. She's
yes.
the older lady with the talon fingernails and it sounds like she eats cigarettes.
Eats cigarettes. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
So she's a psychic, and they brought Sean Hornbeck's family on there to ask what the fate of their missing kid was. And she told them straight out, oh, honey, your kid is dead. And that he was buried in these specific woods between these two jagged boulders. Policeman's time was wasted searching those woods, looking for this kid. They didn't find anything. Nothing. They told her the kid was dead. And let's be honest, when you're making a guess, and I'm more likely to think that she probably is a fraud, that she knows that she doesn't have a gift, and she's just cashing in on people's grief.
Yeah.
When you're going to make a guess about a missing kid, it's a pretty safe bet to guess the kid's probably dead, because a lot of times, sadly, that's the sad ending to these stories. Here's the thing, though. They found the kid, and he was alive. Sylvia Brown said that he had been taken by a taller Hispanic or black with light-skinned man with dreadlocks and a goatee. He was taken by a short white dude. He was alive. Nothing she said was right. So, I mean, this is not the first time of her doing this. So actually, my favorite Sylvia Brown Montel Williams story was a
You're a fan.
I am a fan. Is that she was on there, and they were talking to various people in the crowd. And by the way, you have to talk to her on the show, because otherwise she'll charge you $700 for an hour on the phone.
On the phone.
On the phone, not even in person. And basically this family, this woman had asked and said she wanted to know about her her brother who had died. And they had never found his body, and she wanted to know where he was. I mean, this is sad. I mean, this is somebody who's lost a loved one. This is a big deal. And there's that never that sense of closure you get when you have a burial. This is a big thing. She's asking Sylvia Brown this. Sylvia Brown said, "Oh, honey," that's almost how she starts every sentence, by the way. "Oh, honey, he's underwater. That's why you're not going to find his body." And she has this quizzical look on his face. And this is what I love, because the other time it took months to find this kid, to find out that Sylvia Brown was wrong. Here she gets the wrong answer right to her face. She's like, "My brother died on 9/11.
Oops.
Oh.
Got that one wrong.
And she's like, "No, and she just starts backpedaling. This immediately begins where she has to be right even when she's wrong. Sometimes it's blame the person asking the question. And other times it's just, "Hey, I'm reading this wrong. No, I'm seeing water somehow. She's underwater." It's amazing the excuses these people make when they're proven wrong. It's like, this is all for entertainment purposes only, but these are people who take advantage of the grieving. They take advantage of somebody who's in a horrible place in their life and turn that into dollar signs by selling them their BS books and lecture tours and media appearances. And I think it's shameful.
No, I absolutely agree. If you have any comments on this, our phone number here is 253-584-1480, or on the web, ask us a question at askanatheist.tv.
And of course, if you want to be defrauded for entertainment purposes only, Sylvia Brown will be in town at the Emerald Queen Casino in May.
Yeah, she's coming to town. I think Sam said that she comes about the same amount that AC/DC
comes about around. Every six so months, good. Right?
It's our twice a year gift.
So anyway, let's run down a couple things here. So we touched on confirmation bias earlier, and that was with the guy with the dreams and the dream interpretation. And we should probably talk a little bit about what confirmation bias is. And that is, we are innately tuned to remember the hits and forget the misses. So the best story I could use for confirmation bias is I remember calling my mom, and she said, "Oh, I was just thinking about you," and the phone rang and you called. And I didn't have the heart to say to her, "What about all those times that you thought about me and I didn't call?" You know, because I have no doubt she thinks about me a lot. So I didn't have the heart to say that, but that's confirmation bias in a nutshell. Or remember the hits.
Yeah, if you have a terrible feeling about something, like somebody has gone on a car trip or a plane ride, and you're like, "Oh, I have this terrible feeling. Something's going to happen. Something's happened." And then nothing does most of the time. But then that one time where there is a plane crash or there is a car accident or they are hurt, that's the time you remember. That's the beauty of science, is that science writes down everything.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't seem important. And then you can actually get a hit-miss percentage with your predictions or your intuitions or your feelings.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think the problem that I found a lot with people who rely very heavily on the way that they feel, and, you know, from an outside perspective, you can obviously see that it's confirmation bias, but the personal reaction to that is, "But I don't remember ever having those feelings before. I've never really had that kind of feeling. This was special. This was unique. And it turned out to be right." But the fact is that if you start thinking back, like, there's been plenty of times where I've gotten creeped out going down a hallway, or I've had some sort of cold chill go over me when I've entered a room. And if immediately after that something fell off the wall or something that was seemingly unexplainable happened, I'm going to, in my mind, think of that as a special occurrence because I had that feeling. Whereas any other time, why would you remember that stuff? It was one feeling, it was a moment, it passed, and nothing came of it.
And this is why the scientific method is so rigorous, is that it recognizes that human beings have this kind of misfiring.
Yes.
That we get things wrong, that our senses can be fooled. And trying to remember, saying, you know what? I feel silly now that I think about that weird feeling that I got.
Oh, yeah.
I get those all the time. Not to say that the feeling, I mean, we get these feelings all the time, but it's the beauty of science is that we write everything down. And this is what people like James Randi, who's a stage magician turned sort of paranormal debunker investigator, does, is that when you actually show a lot of these people their hit-miss ratio, a lot of them are utterly shocked. Because,
oh, yeah, ridiculous.
Because yes. They forget about all these misses. They forget about all the times that they make a prediction and they're just dead wrong.
Yeah. No, and that's a really good point. There's a woman who claimed that she had predicted the Kennedy assassination. But she also predicted that Carter would be shot on the White House lawn and that some other vice president was going to commit suicide.
Oops.
There was a whole host of things that she predicted that didn't come true.
So I want to share one story with you guys. And I feel like, you know, we've known each other for a while. And I know that everything we say on these microphones is confidential. So
absolutely.
I feel like I can share the story with you. But when I was younger, I thought I was psychic. I really did. I thought that I could tell which card was going to come up next. I thought I could predict the future. I really thought that I had these abilities. So I remember sitting there with a deck of cards and trying to predict the next card. And when I was right, I thought, okay, I'm on my game. And when I was wrong, I always had an excuse. I always had some sort of deflection as to, I'm not concentrating, I got distracted, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the sun was in definitely. My eyes.
Yeah, so I thought I was until I used the scientific method, and then I realized that I was no better than chance. And that when reality stung, I'll just put it that way.
Absolutely. All right. We'll be right back with Ask an Atheist. Today, our subject is psychics. And if you want to give us a call, 584-1480, the area code is 253. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of religious dogma influencing government policy? Do you support the separation of church and state? Then the Secular Coalition for America is your voice in Washington, D.C. The Secular Coalition for America is the only national lobbying organization representing atheists, agnostics, humanists, and other secular Americans in our nation's capital. The Secular Coalition for America speaks out for millions of non-theistic and non-religious Americans who support public policies based on science and reason, not religious bias. Go to secular.org today to sign up for emails and get involved. That's secular.org.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an integral part of your business. But that's not all. We can set you up with VoIP, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to helping your business succeed through and with technology. At Tacoma Telematics, we are committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
All right, we're back. This is Ask an Atheist. Our topic for the show today is You Should Know, an introspective on psychics and psychic ability. We're actually going to go to the phones. We have a caller. It's Donovan from Mobile, Alabama. Donovan, let's see what you have to say. Are you there?
Hello, Donovan. You're on the air?
Yes, I'm right here.
Hey, how's it going?
Going all right.
All right.
You're talking about things like people calling as Sylvia Brown and stuff like that and being taken in by, you know, the psychics.
Yeah.
Reminds me of something that was said in Skeptic Songwriter's George Rust's song Skeptic, which he concludes with a simple piece of advice. To think about, are they trying to help you or are they trying to help themselves?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like a lot of these psychics and other peddlers of woo are doing. They're just trying to make their money off people's dreams and worries.
No, it's very manipulative. That's the thing. That's what makes me just want to assume that most of these people honestly believe in their ability, because when they don't, it's almost monstrous to me.
I look at it this way, and that is, we talked about earlier that if psychics had this real ability to predict the future, to be clairvoyant, to read people's minds, to have telekinesis, then this would upend the universe or the physical laws as we know it. It would be a complete rewrite of everything we know about the universe. And instead, they're in these little storefronts charging people $30 for a half-hour reading. Instead of using their powers for good, so to speak, help us understand the universe, they're using it for gain and for profit. And when you ask sometimes, and I've asked psychics if they'd be willing to be tested, I often get the pushback, I don't need to prove myself to you or anybody else. And I think to myself, that is so selfish and so self-serving. If you have this magic ability that you claim you have, then let's see it. Let's test it. Let's make sure that people know about you.
Yeah, exactly.
And, some people have said that they don't want to take the James Randi challenge because they don't want to do it for personal gain. And the comeback is a lot of times, okay, we'll make it done. Donate the entire amount to charity.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And we'll touch on the James Randi Foundation Challenge, hopefully, if we have time in the show. We do have a second call
on
the line.
Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you so much, Donovan. I appreciate
it. It's always nice to hear from you.
I enjoy the show. Thank you for having it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. We're going to go to Steve in Puyallup. Steve, I guess, the note I have says government studies on remote viewings. Let's see what Steve has to say.
Steve, what do you got for us?
Are you there?
Hello. How you guys doing?
Great. Yeah, how you doing?
I'll keep my question as brief as I can.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you guys ever heard about remote viewing during the Cold War, where the government basically funded these guys who were claimed psychics in, I believe, Aberdeen, Maryland, to use remote viewing to get secret locations of sub-bases and stuff like that in the Soviet Union. And I wonder what you think about that in regarding to the psychic and how that study ended out.
Okay, well, is it all right if I jump in on this? I don't have any direct knowledge of what they had done, but there's a great way of looking at if psychic powers existed, then we'd be able to build off of that, and we'd be able to make something with it. Like, I like to look at the example of electricity. When electricity was first invented, we couldn't do much with it, but it was something that was reproducible, and we could build off of it. And so eventually we were able to make light bulbs, and we could turn motors with it, and we could actually build off of it. If psychic powers existed, if something like that existed, and we've been trying to get this to work for 130 years now, then you would see some sort of application coming out of that, that air traffic controllers could see planes, or there'd be some sort of application with
right.
with mining or finding oil. We just don't. We're still back at square one. We're still trying to get people to draw something that they see in their mind, and it never works.
And those methods of knowing, you know, intuitively would be far cheaper than the methods that people who are looking for certain sorts of ore or oil use today. So why wouldn't they? Why doesn't Exxon have a cadre of psychics looking for oil? The answer is it doesn't work. And these people, you know, an oil company cares about whether they find oil.
Yes.
They're not going to waste a lot of money in a place that they don't think that there's going to be oil. So if there was a psychic ability, and it worked. The same thing with the government. This project you're talking about, I have heard about that. My immediate thought is my tax dollars are being wasted.
Yeah,
can't we
exactly.
build a school with this?
Yeah.
Can we fix the road?
That's my position as well. The government was actually funding this thing and basically sitting these guys down in a dark room and letting them go into a self-induced catatonic state, and whatever they got out of it mentally afterwards, they would draw on a piece of paper and then they derive it in any which way that they could towards some kind of meaning. Eventually, the government shut it down and called it complete, bogus.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, that's the way the program terminated. But, yeah, the fact that the government actually spent my taxpayer money to do this program is amazing.
Oh, I tend to be a little bit lean towards, you know what, give science a break. We're going to test a lot of things that aren't going to work. But just for the sake of science, let's just see if there's something we don't know. I think we get into the fool's errand when we keep trying to reproduce the same results with failure.
Exactly.
So
I think
cut them more slack.
So much of science has to do with creativity anyway, just the ability to think of a possibility and then test it.
Yes.
And make sure that it stands up. But just that initial step of thinking of the idea is really important. So I don't see much wrong with trying to test these abilities, but we've done it and it doesn't work. So unless you have a new test, we need to move on.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for
that's a great question.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, we really appreciate your call. You have a good day. All right.
You too.
Thank you.
This goes back to what you said about the constant refining. That electricity now is better than electricity in the late 1800s, and this really kind of gets me is that there is no constant refining of these abilities. The people that are being debunked by James Randi today are using the exact same techniques.
Yes.
As the people who are being debunked by Harry Houdini back then.
Right, right.
There's no new things. And what are these techniques that they use, Case?
Probably the best one, the one that's most known among skeptics, is cold reading. And that is that's the ability to talk to someone, gain details from them by looking at their body language, their age, what they're wearing, the kind of clothing they have on, and how they respond to certain cues. I'm getting an E. I'm getting I'm seeing an aunt. You know, this would be for a psychic who claims to talk to the dead.
So it's like playing 20 questions with a crowd of people, and
right.
they offer up answers, and they're basically being convinced that answers that they're providing are being provided to them.
Right. Right. So you have this kind of the soup coming. You have your confirmation bias, where you only remember the hits and you forget the misses. You have cold readers who are able to use this technique to perfection. You have cognitive dissonance, where psychics, when they're wrong, tend to deflect it. And then you have the fantasy prone personality. So you have this soup of different elements that makes a perfect mix for psychics to come with a compelling experience for believers. You know?
So that's why when you have a show like John Edward or Sylvia Brown, they'll walk out to a large audience and they'll say something like, I'm feeling something from an older relative who may have died, a man, his name begins with a J.
Something in the chest.
Something in the chest.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Problem breathing at the end, as James Randi says, that's what dying is. And when you have a group of people that's already self-selected, that these are people who are already going to a psychic demonstration.
They either have a deceased person that they really want to hear from. They have the willingness to believe already. The mix is already there. It's just, you know, it's fuel, temperature, and then heat. And then you have fire.
And if you have a comment, if you want to call in, if you have a differing view on psychic ability, definitely give us a call. The phone number here, 253-584-1480, or you can catch us on the web at askanatheist.tv.
Of course, I'm in oxygen, heat, and fuel, but go ahead.
So that's what I find so interesting about this, is that there is a skill behind cold reading. I'm not saying that these people are not doing anything. This is actually very hard. You have to have a certain understanding of body language. You have to sort of understand what people think, how to read their face, read their gestures, to go, okay, I'm getting hot. It's like playing the hot and cold game that you play.
But it's also important to mention that it's well known enough that you can take a class on cold reading.
Yes.
You can find a teacher who will teach you how to do this.
Yes. And it's also there's also another part of this equation, is that people play a part in their own manipulation, where they give they say yes, they mine their own life for the aunt or for the chest pain. They want to participate in this. So it's important to know that cold readers need that other person to believe and is willing to give the cues.
So when somebody says, I feel somebody with a J, that person with a J immediately volunteers themselves and say, hey, I have someone. I have
yes.
a Uncle Jacob who just died.
Yes. And in my own life, I had a friend named Jay who killed himself. So we all have something mm-hmm. that, you know, that we can easily just like, wow, he knows Jay?
And with a big enough crowd, it's a pretty safe bait that somebody has an older relative that died recently.
Yes.
That's a really easy thing to predict. And if you have a large enough crowd, you can get even more specific than that. And these people are there because they want something. They want that sort of feeling or connection. In the same way, I think religion offers that death is this very scary thing. And the sense that there's a way for a part of your personality to survive death and stay intact, That is comforting to a lot of people, the same way somebody wants to hear something from heaven.
Yeah.
I've never heard a psychic actually channel someone who says they're in hell. Or,
yeah.
And it seems also like
the
ghosts
food is terrible.
The food is terrible.
it's boring.
The ghosts have to be the most boring people in the world. That they come back, that this is somebody who's seen the other side of, you know, they've passed beyond the veil, so to speak. And the only thing they can offer is, oh, I love you, and I want you to sort of move past this, and I want you to be happy in your life. Nobody ever says, I'm angry, you killed me, you MF-er.
Yeah.
Nobody ever makes any accusations or has the knows where the will is or the combination to the safe. Nobody ever knows anything valuable. Here's an idea. Tell me what the afterlife is like.
Yeah.
Give me detail.
I'm sorry. I think you touch on something that's really important, too, is – the type of people that these cold readers generally seem to look for are people who have suffered some sort of intense stress recently, and so they're more prone to be emotional, they're more prone to show their emotions.
Yeah. In Houdini's time, mediums were a big problem. And one of the things that he had done later on in his career was to do a lot of debunking of mediums. And one thing that he did that was very clever before he passed away was he told his wife, if a medium ever says that she's channeling me, I'm going to use these certain keywords, and you'll know it's really me. And as far as we know, no medium had ever said the words that Houdini gave to his wife.
I thought that was
very, very smart of him. So one story I want to touch on, because time is really running out.
I know. It's a meaty topic.
I'm having a great time, too. So in my own experiences as an organizer of Seattle Skeptics, I'd actually gone to a couple psychic fairs, and I met a young woman by the name of Andrea Fisher. She billed herself as a medical intuitive. Now, what medical intuitives claim that they can do is that they can look at you, and using just psychic powers, they can see whatever medical issues you have. So I said to her, well, you know, I'd love to have you test this on me. So how about if I'll come up with some questions, and you tell me which ones you think you can answer? Because when you test a psychic, you can only test them at what they claim they can do. This isn't a gotcha or a trick. You really want to see if they can actually do what they can do fairly. So I had her answer some medical questions. Look at some things, and she said that she could answer them. So she looked at me. We went to a psychic fair, and she gave me a look, and she said, okay, answer these questions. So my first question for her was, how old am I? Well, I gave her three guesses. She was wrong every time. Do I drink? She got that wrong. Do I smoke? She said, it feels like you do, but I don't, and that I don't now currently, and that quitting was a three-year process. Well, no, I never smoked. Am I addicted to anything? Now, a case could be made, and I know this is a confidential conversation. A case can be made that I'm addicted to video games, but that's irrelevant. She guessed that I was addicted to relationships, which is kind of, you know.
It's a safe bet. We're a social animal.
Yeah. Well, I'm addicted to oxygen and water, you know. I mean, so those are pretty good, too.
You do have medical problems if you're held back with
those.
You go through withdrawals.
Yes, I do. One of my favorites was I lost a substantial amount of weight that year, and I said, can you spot why? And she said something with the pancreatic endocrine system, the spleen, something in there. I said, no, I worked out a lot, and I watched what I ate. Okay. The next one was, the final one was, I had recent surgery this year. Quick, where was it, and what was it? And that's right up her alley. She sensed that I had recent surgery on the right side. It was organ, something with a spleen or a tube that goes up, something lymphomatic or part of the endocrine system. She can't quite get it right. I said, no, on the left side I had a wisdom tooth out. So not quite. And so anyway, her prediction was dismal. It was awful. It wasn't even close. And I said, how can you give medical advice to people when you're so wrong? And she said, well, the floor was kind of noisy and it was kind of busy. I said, but you said these things with confidence, as if you knew you were right. You're giving medical advice to people and you're wrong. If my doctor had given me that advice, I could have sued him.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
My doctor doesn't get that kind of pass. He couldn't say that he's capable of all these things and then be completely wrong about it. I could sue him for that. So I asked her, how can you ply your trade on the gullible masses like this? And I didn't see her again after that. So
yeah,
that's my
surprising
story about Andrea Fisher, the medical intuitive.
I don't understand that. I mean, that to me is something that honestly makes me angry, because I just think of these people who are hopeless, or maybe they don't have very much money. I mean, I don't know why you would go to somebody like that anyway. You must have money, because they never do it for free.
Yeah.
Unless they're on TV and trying to prove something. But why would you go there instead of going to a doctor? How many people has this woman affected? Their health?
Yeah.
What keeps them alive? My goodness.
You know, yeah, worse than that is that when you realize that you've been conned, you want to protect your ego. And you don't want to be the person who goes to the cops and says, I trusted this psychic, or tell your family or relatives. Most people, when they're conned, are very embarrassed about it and don't say a thing.
Yes.
You know? So it perpetuates the cycle, because who wants to go to a cop that says, yeah, I thought this tarot card reader told me the truth, you know? So it's not like there's any regulation of this. So anyway, as we're running out of time, I realize this. I want to touch on the James Randi $1 million Foundation,
yes.
Or James Randi's $1 million challenge.
All right. Before we get into that, I'm going to do some standard show stuff.
Okay.
After the show today, we're going to be meeting at Dorky's Barcade. If you want the physical address, it's 754 Pacific Avenue in Tacoma. It's on the corner of 9th and Pacific.
But if you're psychic, you knew that.
That's true. We're going to be there at 5 p.m. Come play with us. There's awesome food and retro games.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
I am. Okay, let's get to Randi, and then I'll thank people, and then we'll go.
All right, let's do this quickly. So James Randi, he'd been debunking psychics for a number of times. In fact, he's probably the arch nemesis of Uri Geller, who had rose to prominence in the 1970s. I'm probably saying his name wrong,
saying it right.
Okay. So James Randi.
He actually teamed up with Spider-Man in a comic once.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Nice.
So one of the challenges, he said, was he was trying to get psychics to prove themselves. And so what he did was he put together a challenge that said, if you can prove your psychic abilities under a fair test, I'm going to give you $10,000. It started out as 10 grand. And some psychics, you know, took the bait, and, you know, they were tested. Some actually had a TV show for a while. There's a couple great episodes on YouTube. But in time, the challenge rose to be $1 million. That's a kitty that's so sweet. You know, how can a psychic turn that down? And even if you don't apply your psychic trade for profit, or you find something deplorable about $1 million, you can donate it to charity. So anyway, he's had this psychic challenge for about, I'm going to say, 10, 15 years now, and not a single psychic has passed it. I've seen the tests, and he's genuinely fair. He does test them at their strengths. Ask, for example, in the case of a dowser, do we have a time for a dowser story?
No, we don't. We need to.
I'm so enthusiastic.
No,
you know me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to thank the call screener today is Sam Mulvey. Our production assistants were Jerry Schiffelbein and Rebecca Freeman. In studio cheerleaders, I love it, Eileen Caballo.
Yay.
Steve Jones, Brad Wilson, and the awesome Tristan Lehman. This is a production of NEDM Media. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Keeping you informed, this is KLAY, Lakewood, Tacoma, your conversation station.